All right. Well, welcome. And ladies, happy Mother's Day. This is a special day. And you know what? Being a mom is something I've always wanted to be, ever since I was little. And I think it's probably because I have the world's best mom. My mom is totally amazing. She has been so patient. She is so selfless. And she works so hard. And I'll tell you, even when we were little kids, she would make our clothes. There was five of us. She would make clothes for us, but then she'd also go to the extra mile and make our Barbie doll clothes to match. She just would work, work, work. And she was just the greatest prayer warrior, and she still is the greatest prayer warrior that our family has. And I'm just so thankful that God blessed me with my mom. So, Mom, I love you. And I just want you to know how much you mean to me, and happy Mother's Day. So I'm really glad I got to say that on this. So this was kind of nice. All right, well, because I have a heart for kids, and I always have, I've been working with the children ever since we started this church. And kids have always been very special, but I've got to tell you, there is a crisis that is going on in this world. And it's a crisis of our children are lost. There is a lost generation, and it's an identity crisis. And so that's what God has really put on my heart. And to tell you the truth, this is the message I shared with my Wednesday night kids, because I have been praying for years, God, how do we reach this generation? They're so different. You know, life was different. I grew up more than a half a century ago. Okay, so it's been a long time, and there's been a lot of changes. And when you look at the world, I mean, when I was little, I think the two worst things that the kids could do in school were run in the hallways and chew gum. And now look at what life is for our young people. And so you can see, too, how technology, how industry, how recreation has just expanded. And because of those things, our eyes have gotten off of God, and they've gotten onto what we can do, and that we can handle things, and we are self-sufficient. And so there is this identity crisis that all of a sudden people are starting to look to themselves or others, this world, to get their identity. And that is the wrong place. And so I have been praying and praying, and God gave me a scripture that just opened up the door to this whole topic, and it just like was enlightening to me. And so I want to share this message with you, because actually it's great that I shared it with the kids, but I think it's got to start with the parents. It's got to be our role, our job, to fight for our kids' identity. And so that's what I want to do today. And so I want to start off with a scripture, and then I want to pray, and then we'll get into who am I, all right, the message. Scripture is John 10:10, and it says, the thief comes in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and enjoy it and have it in abundance to the full that it overflows. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and he is giving us a warning, all right? So let's just bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just dedicate this time to you right now. We ask you, Father God, just that you would prepare our hearts. Help us to lay down all the cares and the weights and the responsibilities of this world right now at your feet. Jesus, we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us of anything that would hinder us from receiving your word of truth, your word that's life. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and just fill each one of us today. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray that your heart would be revealed today, Lord God, that your presence would fall fresh on each person who hears this message. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, this scripture is definitely a warning for us. He's saying a thief is here amongst us, and he is going to try to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we know that that is the devil. He's telling us there is a bad devil in this world. But then Jesus comes in and says, but I came. And we'll get into that part later, all right? But the warning is, the thief is here. The devil is here on this earth, and he is trying to rob and steal our identity from who we really are. And so we're going to see how the devil works. And the devil works by John 8:4:4, and you don't have this scripture, Christian. It says the devil is called the father of lies. And he always is working with lies. All right, so I have to find that scripture. I'm sorry. I don't have that. All right. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whatever he speaks is a lie. He speaks on his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So not only does God tell us in his word that there is a devil who's out to steal, rob, and kill and destroy people's lives, he doesn't want you to have victory. He wants you to have fun momentarily, knowing that that fun is going to lead you to destruction. And so he's always wanting to lead us away. And he uses lies to do it. The only thing is that truth is something that's supposed to be solid and immovable. And it says that he has no truth in him. So you see where man has gotten when we've gotten all this technology, all these things. I mean, look at, when I was a kid, we had a black and white TV that had 4 stations. Look at what we have now. Thousands of stations, everything's in color. You can watch it on your phone. We have smartphones. We had a party line. We used to have to share the phone with somebody else. They'd say, hey, I need to use the phone. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just crazy what we have transformed into. And you see, all that knowledge has puffed us up and made us think that we know what's better than God does. And it's kind of exactly what happened with Lucifer and how he got kicked out of hell. And so we see that Satan, his tools is not truth. He's going to use deception. He'll maybe take a little bit of truth, but then he's going to take deception and deceive us and pull us in. But truth is supposed to be solid, immovable, and it doesn't change. And that's what we've lost in our country, in our world, is truth. And the only place I have ever seen that truth from the beginning of time until now is the Word of God. It has not changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what happened is that we started to think that we were more highly than ourselves, and we started to push truth out. It started way back when we were little. Prayer got kicked out of schools. Can't pray in Jesus' name. And then just look at Christmas and Easter. They started off as celebrating what Jesus had done. And you can see how the world has tried to push Jesus out of Christmas, push Jesus out of Easter. I had a Wednesday night kid come up to me and say, Denise, I heard that they're trying to take In God We Trust off our money. I mean, we've come this far. We've pushed God out of school. You can't talk about Jesus Christ in school, but yet we can use his word as a cuss word in school. Something's wrong. Truth, we've been deceived, and we've accepted it. And so that's where we need to see, where does truth really come from? And if you think about it, if the world thinks that they're so great and have so much wisdom and knowledge, where has it gotten us? Look at our world. When I was a kid, most families went to church. But now, some kids don't even know who Jesus is, what he's done. And I look at the last 10 years especially, a spirit of anxiety has just been poured out on people's lives. Depression. I have a second graders who are on medicine for anxiety. That's your childhood. You're supposed to be having fun, carefree. You know what I mean? And they have all these things. We have division. I mean, it's race against race, and it's women against men. And this is the devil's way of getting us to not take the truth. to be pulled away from truth, pulled away from who we are. And so we see addictions, selfishness, lawlessness, all these things raising up. So really, is all this wisdom, technology, and our way of doing things the best way of doing things? I think not. So we need to go and we need to see what is the real truth, the one that doesn't shift, the one that's not fluid like water and keeps moving. We need a solid rock to stand on, and that rock is Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. And so we're going to look at another scripture, Genesis 1:26. Because we need to go to the truth to find out our real identity. And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Right there, it just solves everything. God is the one who created us, not man. So we're made in his image. We're eternal. We were perfect when God created us. And we had no sin, and we were loved, and we were valuable, and we were victorious, and we were given authority over all the earth. That's pretty great. Can you grab me my water, hon? And so all of a sudden, we see how the devil has tried to steal that identity of who we are. Thank you. Because we were created to be like Jesus, to be like God. I kept that on. All right. So we see then how the devil has been working. He is trying to cause confusion and chaos and pride to make us think that we are not a creation of God. But when we look at who we are, Satan has twisted those things and tried to steal our identity. But God comes in and his word trumps everything. All right. So, but when the devil does come in, and I want to kind of actually show you this, when the devil does come in, he brought darkness. There was separation. Sin caused us to be separated from God. And because of that separation, God had to move Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And we broke this relationship with God. And then we have this sin nature inside of us, alive. And you know that sin nature didn't just affect us, it affected our whole world. It affected the trees, nature, animals, plants, everything. So you can see the curse has just been loosened by allowing sin to come in. And that sin changed the way we think. And we didn't accept the truth. We believed a lie. And we were deceived. And so that brought us separation from God. And so in the world, what we do is we try to fill who we are. And so this is us right here. And say we just got born. And how we in the world find our identity is through our mom and dads, what they tell us, or our brothers and sisters. Or maybe there's other people in our lives that speak into us. Or they say, oh, you're so talented. You are just so gifted. You are such an artist. You are such an amazing singer or talented athlete. And all of a sudden, some people can come in and say, oh, you're ugly. You smell. You don't look right. You didn't dress right. And you have all these inputs of the world that just come into your life and try to fill you up with who you are. And it's hard. Because that's not from God. Who's speaking it? The world is speaking it. The world is telling you. People are telling you. This is what you are. That's why we have a lost identity problem with our kids, and they're lost. That's why we are, you know, if we don't believe the truth. We're going to come back to this. Okay. So, I would like to go, though. This is the scripture that God gave me that changed and transformed for me. This is what birthed this message, this scripture right here. And it's Luke 19:10. And it says, for the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? I always used to think, oh, it was me. I was lost. I didn't know Jesus. No, it was my identity, who I am. I am His. I've been created to be in the image of God. And we lost our identity. And when that did it, I just realized, whoa, that is the root problem to our problems in the world, is an identity problem. We don't know who we are. We forgot that we were created in His image. All right, so we need to go to the source to see the reality and the truth of who we are. Because if we don't take the truth, it's not going to just come in us. We have to grab it and hold on to it. So in John 14, 6, it says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus came down to earth and He let us know He is the truth. And through that truth, we have a way. And not just a way, but a life. Do you realize that God did not come so that we would be victims? He came so that we would be victors. He says, I've overcome everything in the world so that you can live in the blessings and the promise. It doesn't matter what tribulation hits you. You are going to be victorious over any tribulation that comes against you, any addiction, any problems, because that's the truth. And so we need to get the truth image inside of us instead of the world's image. Have you ever heard the old saying, I'm trying to find myself? People search all over. I'm just trying to find myself, trying to find out what I'm good at, where I should go, what I should do. And we look all over the world to find ourselves. When God is saying, sit down, open up your word. I'll tell you who you are. And I'll fill the truth inside of you and restore you and make you whole. I'll heal your hurts. And so we need to see that truth. I want to go more into truth. Sorry, my mouth keeps getting dry. In John 17, 17, let me tell you a little bit more of what the word says about truth. I sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So that's just letting us know God's word really is the truth. John 1, 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. So He called Jesus this word. And what I tell my kids is that this word is different than any other book in the whole world. Because this book is Jesus. Jesus is a living person. Amen. And it is alive. And it has the power to perform a work of anybody. You put this word of God inside of you, it says it's a seed. And that seed will start manifesting if you start watering it. And that is something God showed me I needed to start praying for our young people. Is God, any seed of your word that has gone into their heart, I just thank you that you're watering it. You're breaking up the roots of the lies of the enemy. And that word is going to perform a work inside of them. And it is going to uproot the lies and fill them with truth. And that's how powerful this word is, because it's living. All right. And then John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that what we want? Yeah. We've been lost. We've been in bondage. And we need to be set free. So we've come to the point where we see we've all sinned. We look to the world. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is actual spiritual death from God. Now, if you think of who God is love. God is peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. He is all those things. Take those things away, and you're separated from Him. What does that leave? Hopelessness, nothing. Fear, torment. So He's saying that was the penalty of our sin that we deserved. But do you see that Jesus came? Jesus, He made that rescue plan just like that. When Adam and Eve first sinned, the first thing God did was make a rescue plan to save us, because He's the only one who could. All of us are sinners. We can't save ourselves, but Jesus was perfect. He's the one who came down from heaven, and He took the separation You know, when he said, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" It's because he had all our sin on him, and God couldn't be in his presence anymore. He was separated from God. He took our separation for us. He took our sins, our penalty. So we don't have to pay for that. And so I'm so thankful for that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come." Yes. When we ask Jesus to come and live inside of us, we get a new life. Amen. Our spirit comes alive again. We're restored to who we really are. But I'll tell you, we're a three-part being. We live in a body, we have our mind, will, and emotions, which is our soul, and then our spirit, which comes alive and is perfect. But our soul and our mind are still wrapped up in this world, in the sin nature. And so we have this new life, and now we have the old life. But it says the old will pass away, the new has come. But to get the old to pass away, we got to take the Holy Spirit. We've got to take the Word of God, and we got to start putting it inside of us. And when we do that, what happens? The lies of the enemy that have been embedded and rooted into our life start to come out. And it's a gradual process. Because sometimes we might even stop in the middle of it saying, "Oh, I feel so good. I don't need to put the word in anymore. I'm fine now." No, we're never going to stop needing God. We live in a sin-torn world. We live in a fallen world. And the lies of the enemy are always going to be bombarding us. And that's why we got to keep putting the word in. And you can't stop. And you got to keep doing it until they all get pushed out. And that is what God wants us to do, is to fill up with his word, to fill up with the new nature of who he says we are. Not what the world says we are, but who he says we are. And I want to give everybody a chance to do this today. And so surrendering that old life, getting rid of it. I got my notes messed up here. There it is. All right. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and you might not even feel like you need to ask Jesus in your life. You don't even think you need this new life, new identity, to be restored and come alive inside of you. But I'm going to ask you all to do this. Okay? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to put your right hand over your heart, and I'm going to ask you to lift your left hand up to heaven. And I want you to repeat after me. I'm so sorry, Lord Jesus, just be with us right now, okay? Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender to you my old life, my sin. I need you. Restore to me who you created me to be. I need your life. I need your truth inside of me. Come to life, Lord Jesus. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. I want to live for you, and I want to walk in the victory that you bought for me. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is faithful. He has redeemed us and set us free, but I want you to know that's just the start. That is just scratching the surface of getting your identity. There's a scripture in 1 John 1:12, and it says, "Yet to all who believe in his name, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You are now a child of God. If anybody tells you, oh, you're stupid, oh, you're dumb, you can't do this, I want you to know that's not what God says about you. Do you know, as parents, have you ever had somebody bully your kid? You rise up. It's like, you don't mess with my kids. All right? Well, the devil has been messing with our kids. So moms and dads, we need to fight for our children's identities. We need to start putting the truth of their identity in them. And you might think, oh my gosh, my kids are all grown. It's too late. It's not too late. If you can still breathe, if you can speak the word, you're not too late. Because the Word of God, like we said, is living, it's alive, it's active, it's powerful. It will go where you can't go. And it will perform a work. It will do its job. It will not return empty or void. So it doesn't matter if your kids are little or if your kids are grown. If you can speak, you can do this. And we want to help you today. I have this card. This card I got from New Hope Counseling down in Centerville. And I did this for like almost 2 years. And what it's a powerful little thing, and it's amazing because you wouldn't think this little card is amazing. But it says, who God says I am. And all it is scripture. It gives a scripture and then just a little part of who it says I am. I am God's child. I have been adopted by God. I can call God my Abba Father. Do you know what Abba means? Daddy. He makes it personal. I've been joined to the Lord, one spirit. And it goes on. But the only thing is, this card is really important. I don't want you to take it unless you're going to do it. You have to speak it out loud. And it's two-sided. So a lot of times, I would do one half one time, and then I would do the other half another time. And so it is amazing what it did. I'll tell you, I was a Christian for a long time before I even did this card. But it broke down barriers that I didn't know I had as I did this. And it made my relationship with Jesus even more personal as I did it. And the more I did it, the more I saw results. So I want you to see that these cards are up here for anyone who wants them. But take it. And use it, because this will change your life. And that's just, like I said, scratching the surface. This is just feeding the appetite. It's like the appetizer, because there's so much more that God has for us. And I'm excited. I know this message is really super short. Pastor's like, I hope he had time to even get it done. But one of the other things I do want to share, though, is how powerful the Word is. It will change things. I've been doing a 40-day sugar fast with Lisa Crow, and it's something I never thought I could get set free of, is sugar. And the few days before she even told me about it, I was just like, God, I've just failed in this area my whole life. I don't know how to get set free of it. My body is really starting to feel the effects of it. I ache. I get sharp pains in my chest. I mean, I was getting scared. And I was just like, I know I need to change, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then that next morning, I had to drop off a curriculum bag to Lisa at her work. And so I go to work, and she goes, oh, I'm doing a 40-day sugar fast. And I go, boy, I should probably do that. And she goes, okay. You know, and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think I made a commitment. I didn't even know I did. So that night, she texts me. She goes, here's the book. It's on sale on Amazon, and I made you a prayer journal. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I guess I'm doing this. And I knew it was God. I knew it was God. And so we started it, and I'll tell you, it's really been supernatural. But the book, and it's by Wendy Speak, isn't it? Is it just 40 days sugar faster? Okay. You could use this for anything if you needed to get off social media. Whatever you put before you put God, and I always put sugar, sweets, candy, stuff like that. I kind of was out of control. And I knew it was hindering my walk with the Lord. But this book has made me fall in love with Jesus and say, no, Jesus, I want to love you more. And one of the things that she said is that she had this beautiful cake stand. And, you know, in the kitchen is where you go to get all the sweets, right? And so she said every time she went in there, she noticed the cake stand. And so she grabbed the cake stand and she put it in the middle of her table and she stuck her Bible right on top of it. So when she felt like going and getting something sweet and not something that was empty calories, she said, I'd go and snack on the Word. And all of a sudden I'd get filled up. And I just was like, oh my gosh, that is the greatest idea ever. And so my mother-in-law has passed away. She had a beautiful cake stand and I had grabbed it. I have it on my kitchen table now. I put my Bible, I have two of these Bibles, and so I put one of them on it. And whenever I feel like I want to have something sweet and put something before God, my relationship with God, I go to Him. And I can't tell you how He's filled me. And in the midst of this, I have heard God speak to me in a greater way like I've never had before. And it's been 4 weeks, and it's happened 5 times already, that God has spoke to me like I was just at the bank, and God just said, hey, ask this person this. And I did, and I got a response that I was just like, oh my gosh, I needed this. I didn't even know it was just like phenomenal. And that's happened 5 times that God's revealed those things to me. And I just am like, God, I just want to put you first. I want to not put the world first. And I can't tell you how much more exciting life has been. I really thought I was going to miss out on something. We even went to Pizza Ranch yesterday, and cactus bread is my favorite. All my family ate cactus bread in front of me, and I didn't have a problem with it. The only problem I've ever had is the ding-dong at home. And I made Caleb eat it right away. Thank you, Caleb. You saved me. But going to God in place of going to what you would normally do. And it is just breaking that trend. But I just want you to know our identity, it doesn't lie in the world. The world is going to lie to us. It's going to deceive us. If I have a talented singing voice and I lost my voice, I would lose my identity. I would be like, oh my gosh, that's what I'm known for. That's, you know, life is over. But it isn't, because that's not who I am. That's just a gift and a talent God's given me. There's so much more to us. And we can't keep letting the devil rip us off. And I'm so tired of seeing our kids being a lost generation that are confused on who they are. And we need to do battle. We need to come in and we need to take hold of the Word. Not search for the world's answers, but get on our knees and find the Word. What does the Word say? Start speaking it out and making a difference.